Ever get stuck on a question? Like, really stuck on a question? Like, so stuck that even your car starts asking it too.
I don't know about cars asking questions, but I get what you mean. Sometimes a question just gets under your skin.
Right. And that's what we're diving into today. A conversation between two friends, Sam and Marco, who are grappling with a real head scratcher, regret.
Regret, huh? Everyone's been there. What makes this conversation so special?
Well, they're trying to figure out how you can regret something if you believe you had absolutely no choice in doing it.
Oh, wow. Okay, now that's a twist.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. So yeah. Where does this all begin?
So picture this. Sam's garage. He's under his Ford Ranger, trying to wrangle a troublesome transmission. It's his happy place, you know? Organized chaos.
I can practically smell the motor oil and hear the wrenches clinking. I like it. Gets the existential juices flowing, right?
Totally. And that's where these big questions start bubbling up. It's like the garage itself becomes this metaphor.
A metaphor. For what?
This need for order, you know? He's got all his tools in their place, trying to make sense of this hunk of metal, and it mirrors this desire to make sense of his life. Especially the choices he regrets.
Interesting. So the garage is like a physical manifestation of his internal struggle.
Exactly. And then Marco shows up. You can tell they go way back. Like, they've hiked 1,000 trails together, both literally and metaphorically. They get each other.
They've been down those winding philosophical roads before.
Oh, yeah. And this time, Sam cuts right to the chase. He's carrying this weight of sadness, this deep regret over the actions that blew up his marriage. Infidelity.
Oof. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
But I thought you said he doesn't believe in choice.
He doesn't. That's where things get really interesting. See, he ties this remorse, this guilt, to this belief that he has absolutely no free will.
Hold on. So he's saying he feels bad about what happened, but he doesn't think he could have done anything differently. How does that even work?
That's the million-dollar question, right? He uses this example of a thermostat. It's making choices all day long about the temperature, but does it really have free will?
I see where you're going with this. So he's essentially saying he's just reacting to his programming, like a thermostat reacting to the temperature.
Exactly. He sees his actions as these predetermined responses to his conditioning, his experiences, like a pre-programmed code playing out.
Determinism. Not exactly an easy pill to swallow for some.
You got that right. He even talks about how he's hesitant to bring it up with people because it usually doesn't go over well.
It can be a tough conversation, for sure. Challenging those core beliefs about free will and responsibility.
Yeah, he even tells the story about almost getting into a fight with a guy named Corey at his men's group over this very topic.
Wow, really? Sounds intense.
It was. You could cut the tension with a knife. Like, this philosophical debate was about to turn into a full-blown brawl.
It makes you wonder, what makes this concept so threatening to some people?
Right. Why are we so afraid to even consider the possibility that we might not have as much control as we think we do?
It's a real head-scratcher, isn't it? Feeling responsible for something you don't think you could have prevented.
It's like this paradox, right? Where does responsibility even begin if there's no real choice?
Exactly. But here's the thing. Sam isn't using this belief in determinism to shirk responsibility.
That's what I was thinking. It'd be easy to just throw your hands up and say, well, it wasn't my fault anyway.
Right. But he's not. He's still trying to make amends. He talks about being honest with his ex-wife, acknowledging the pain he caused.
So even though he believes his actions were predetermined, he still sees the value in owning up to them.
Yes. And this leads to a really interesting shift for him. He starts to realize that his self-worth isn't tied to those past actions.
That's huge. It's so easy to get stuck in that cycle of self-blame, letting our mistakes define us.
Absolutely. But he's choosing to focus on what he can control his actions in the present.
So it's about finding agency, even within a framework where true free will might not exist.
Exactly. And it's not just about him either. He talks about extending that same compassion outwards.
Because if we're all just products of our programming, maybe we should cut each other some slack.
It's a really interesting perspective. And what's refreshing is that they both acknowledge the limits of their own understanding.
Right. Like, they're not pretending to have all the answers.
They even talk about how their primate brains might not be equipped to grasp these huge concepts like free will and determinism.
Which makes sense, right? I mean, these are some of the biggest questions humanity has ever grappled with.
Exactly, and they're okay with that uncertainty. In fact, they seem to embrace it.
They're comfortable sitting with the unknown.
And that's where the real growth happens, right? When we can admit that we don't have it all figured out.
Totally. So instead of trying to force these complex ideas into neat little boxes, they're okay with holding on to seemingly contradictory beliefs.
And accepting that maybe there are some things we just can't fully explain, which brings up a pretty profound question.
It's like they're saying, it's okay to be a little bit confused, to lean into the mystery of it all.
And that leads to a really big question that comes out of this whole conversation. What if our understanding of free will is just plain wrong?
Whoa. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff.
Because if this idea of free will is shaky, then what does that mean for forgiveness?
Oh, man, I never thought about it like that before.
We're not just talking about forgiving other people here, but also forgiving ourselves.
Right. Right. Because if we don't really have free will, can we really hold on to all that guilt and regret?
Exactly. It makes you wonder if this whole idea of free will is actually what's holding us back from truly moving on.
So are you saying that maybe we shouldn't be so hung up on this idea of choice?
It's something to think about, for sure. Because if we're always judging our actions and other people's actions based on this idea of choice, then forgiveness becomes conditional.
Conditional on whether or not we think they made the right choice.
Exactly. But what if there wasn't a right choice? What if all those factors, all those experiences led to that one inevitable moment?
Wow. It's like this whole conversation is making me rethink everything I thought I knew about responsibility, regret, even forgiveness.
It's a completely different way of looking at things. Maybe it's less about judging those choices, whether they're our own or someone else's, and more about understanding.
Understanding that we're all just doing the best we can with the hand we've been dealt.
And maybe, just maybe, when we can start to see it that way, we can start to let go of some of that regret and finally forgive ourselves and others.
It's like Sam and Marco said, sometimes you just got to be comfortable with not knowing all the answers. Embrace the mystery. And who knows? Maybe that's where true growth begins. In that space of uncertainty where we can start to let go of the past and embrace the possibility of something new. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.